Bouncing Death Kirk is a weekly Keyforge podcast focused on competitive play. The podcast is hosted by Kata Mode and Codameron. The show is here for listeners to gain a better understanding of how to evaluate decks, how to evaluate their own board position, and how to anticipate opponents' decisions. Without further ado, here's this week's episode.
Welcome to another episode of Bouncing Death Kirk. I am Kata Mode, and I'm here with Codameron.
How's it going?
And today we're going to be talking about approaching Worlds for Keyforge in 2020, which is happening in May. So right now we have limited information on it. We know that it's in May, we know that it's in Minnesota, and we know some of the qualifications, and we know that it's a team event. We don't 100% know the format yet, but what we want to talk about isn't really tied to that. We want to talk about some of the other stuff that we do know about it, and how you as a player can approach this event that's really coming faster than you think.
So the first place to start on this is that Worlds is its own tournament. There's a lot of different congruent things going on with Keyforge right now. There's the Vault Warrior, there's the Vault Tours, and the World Championship is kind of the culmination of the previously announced tournament structure. The ways to qualify for Worlds is you can win a Prime Championship or above. Yep. You can top four at a grand championship.
Yep.
Or you can do really well at a vault tour. If you're in the top 100 on the leaderboard on a vault tour, then you qualify for Worlds. And exactly when they make that cutoff point is unclear. But as of right now, it's still October of 19, so we have maybe 6 months or so before this is set in stone. Mm-hmm. But right now, it takes about 2 vault tours that you do well at to be on that top 100 leaderboard. Yeah. And that's not a trivial amount. That's a real commitment and real success that you need to have.
Yeah, so one of the things I would personally mention about qualification, right? So like vault, leaderboard, and primes are kind of your main ways. And they have different sort of, they reward different things. And so like I would say that the vault tours definitely reward quantity over quality, right? Because obviously if you win or get second, you're going to gain enough amber shards that like you're not going to have 100 people pass you, but it's really hard to get there, right? Like, so if you say, hey, I'm going to go to one vault tour and this is going to be my one way to qualify for Worlds, there's an overwhelming likelihood you will not qualify through that. But if you're the kind of person that goes to like 4, 5, maybe even 6 vault tours, like you're just going to a bunch of them, the chances that you like make top 16 in 2 of them, or like top 8 in 1 and top 16 in another, is pretty decent. Plus you're getting like a ton of amber shards along the way.
Yeah, I mean, 6 is a lot of vault tours. I think you can reasonably do it with some good placings at 3. I think you get 250 or so vault amber shards for either second or top 4 at a vault tour. And right now the cutoff is 350 or so.
Yeah.
So if you go 5-1 at a vault tour, and then you make it all the way through the cut, you get 30 for entering. You get 15 per win. So I think you actually also get wins as you go up that top cut. So I think you get around that 350 by going, let's say, up to second place.
Yeah.
And we're still 6 months out. There's still a handful of vault tours to go.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at is, you can't really do it unless you win a vault tour, and that's hard.
Yeah, I mean, like, also, a lot of people that go to vault tours, they go to a bunch of them, right? So I feel like I've been to a lot, and that I've been to 3.
Mm-hmm. You know? Me too. It's a lot of traveling, it's a lot of commitment, it's a lot of Keyforge.
But there's some people that have gone to, like, all of them, you know? And so, like, here's the other thing. The big thing about it is that you get 15 per win and 30 for entering. So, like, let's say you don't top cut, right? So you can get 60 by getting 4 wins, and then you get another 30 by just showing up. So you're at 90 right there. If you just go 4-2 5 times, you're at over 400. You're at 450. You're probably going to be in like the mid-70s for ranking by just showing up to 5 different vault tours and going 4-2 each time.
Currently, I'm sitting at 52nd on the leaderboard, and I've only got 455. Now, to kind of transition this, I've qualified for Worlds, and that's not because of the vault leaderboard. I'm halfway. I'm in the meaty zone there, but I won a grand championship. And I know that if you get top four at the Grand Championship, they give you a little Dominator bobble-looking thing that says you've qualified for Worlds. You write your name on it, and there you go. You're qualified for Worlds. And there's a lot of Prime Championships where they're handing out that same Dominator bobble golden ticket to Worlds.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's transition to Primes. Because, so, first off, there's a lot of Prime Championships. So, I did a quick count, and I counted 103 United States Prime Championships. And then the international one, it looks to be about 60% of that. So, like, let's say another 60. That's a lot. That's a lot of invites available. And one of the things that we want to talk about is that because only the first place gets the invite, it actually is like a bit of a tricky situation if you yourself already have like an invite through getting the top 100 in a leaderboard. Because I know a lot of people may not like this, but like players if already have an invite and they're up against someone that wants to go to Worlds, they should almost always concede to that player in the cut.
Yeah, this is kind of coming from a point we're going to make later that the Worlds is going to be more of a community event, and it's we want to make sure that we want to have as many people there as we can, and one of the ways to do that is to make sure that your buddies get there, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe, I mean, I'm sure anyone in that position will say, look, I'll give you the mat, I'll give you whatever, but like, as far as the actual on-paper score goes, unless you're really convinced that you need that power level for your deck or something, it'd be nice to spread around those golden tickets as much as possible. I know I don't want to win a Prime Championship just if it takes a thing away from one of my friends.
Yeah. I would say that when it comes to, what's it called, to L5R, you see this a lot with invites. So, like, when I got my invite, like, for the event I won, it was this really awkward thing where, like, I actually thought I might already be qualified because like they mentioned the qualification structures and they didn't make it clear if like getting top 16 in the previous year's Worlds for L5R qualifies you to the next year's Worlds. As it turns out, it did, but we didn't know at the time. Now it ended up working out, so like I was like, fuck, like I'm just gonna play, like I'm gonna actually try to win. But like the situation that ended up is like the finals, both of us made the top 16 at Worlds the previous year, and then the semifinals, one guy had already won a different event to get his invite, so he conceded, and then there was like one last guy who he did not have any invite whatsoever, and he's from Minnesota and he's definitely gonna go to Worlds. So this is where if we would have known better, seeing how's the top four, you have three people that already have invites and one guy that doesn't, and that one guy that doesn't definitely wants to go to Worlds. The two of us who had made top 16 last year, we would have just conceded. Because he now does not have an invite to go to Worlds.
You make a good point here in that it's not only about who's going to win and who needs an invite, but it's also, you know, this guy is going to go to Worlds. He lives nearby. And what Worlds is what? It's not at the FFG headquarters, but it is going to be in Minnesota, probably at the convention center.
Right? Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, who can take time off of work? Who can go maybe a Thursday, Friday? Probably not a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but who knows? Mm-hmm. In May, if you can't go, then, and you don't have an invite, but you know you're not going to go, maybe you give the invite to someone else, right? Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's just talking about this qualification, right? You have to qualify for Keyforge Worlds. Personally, I'm a fan of this, and just saying that, like, Keyforge Worlds is going to be the people who, at least led by the people who really are invested and really strong at this game.
Yeah.
But there is one more way to get to Worlds, to play in Worlds, to potentially win Worlds, and, I don't know, never have been to a Keyforge event before at all. Keyforge Worlds is a team event. For those of you who haven't heard, it was announced on a live stream or something. How do they tell us, Karamode?
I mean, they said it's going to be a team event, but like the other two members of the team do not need an invite. So, right. In our case in particular, we did say tongue in cheek, hey, what if we had a tournament where we determine our third place?
Bouncing Death Court, there's two of us. We need a third, right? What if we played like a Hunger Games style scenario? Nah.
It's a fun idea, but like in our heart of hearts, we actually knew who our pool of candidates were, because ultimately, when you're going to these type of events, you're just going to hang out with your friends, and like we're just gonna draft a Star Wars player slash guilt a Star Wars player into playing with us, because like you know, I think the first time you go to a big event of some sort, you probably don't know anyone, or you know like two people that you drove down with or flew in with or something, right? Like the amount of people that you know at the event is very small, but you meet people while you're there. Those people end up being online community members, right? And you end up developing relationships with people at these different events. And by the end of it, you, when you're going to these events, you're just going to hang out with your friends.
Yeah, we've talked about this a lot in other podcasts, and just kind of said, hey, you know, when you go to the Vault Tour, make sure you have fun. Make sure you meet people. Make sure you talk to people. And what's exciting about Worlds is this is the payoff of that. Even if you haven't been to Worlds, you're at a tournament with at least two other people that you at least have some kinship with. Maybe you met them online in the Bouncing Death Quark Discord. Maybe you said, hey, I have an invite to Worlds. We need a third, right? Mm-hmm. You bring some friends. You make a team. And then you're all there. You're playing three games probably simultaneously, right? Mm-hmm. Probably it's some sort of, yeah, two of your players have to win. The third one doesn't have to win. And then you get a win in the round.
Yeah. You teach them how to play. You give them a good deck. Also, playing games for so long, too.
And that's then the other thing. There's six of you that just played a game, right? There's your team, there's their team, and then you get to talk about that, and then you just made friends with six people, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I mean, right? That's what's really exciting about this format, and I think what they're trying to – the atmosphere they're trying to farm at Worlds, the create at Worlds.
Okay, and so to drive the friend home point a little deeper, so L5R Worlds is in a few weeks. Now, so here's this thing. Kodamron does not play L5R.
I know how to play L5R.
Yeah, he played for a little bit with like in like core slash early of the first cycle, and then said, this game is depressing. It's not fun. I don't want to play it.
It took me an hour to play with my friends, and then I ended up playing with the same friend and then having to go home. It was a complicated game that I appreciated the skill of, but I didn't want to make my thing.
And by the way, L5R players will readily admit, it is not a fun game to play. We say it's a rewarding game to play, but the point here is that a lot of people that Kodamron knows from our Star Wars days play L5R. There's a lot of cross-pollination there. And as it turns out, there's going to be like a gaggle of us from the previous Star Wars community that are going to be in Minnesota for Worlds. And then Kodamer decided, I'm coming in.
Yeah, I'm flying in. Like, there's some sort of last chance thing. I'll grab some sort of nonsense deck. I'll play in that event. I'll go 1-4, whatever it is. And then I'm going to be at Worlds. I'm going to get to watch some of the best card players in the world, in my opinion, play some of this really hard game for a whole weekend. I'm going to hang out with my friends. And you know what? That's what I want in a vacation. That's what I want. That's what I look for when I go to Vault Tours. I'm not just there to play and stream and do Keyforge things. I'm there to see my friends and the people that I've met with all these Vault Tours.
And I would say that the thing that I remember the most from L5R Worlds last year, there's very few actual L5R that I remember. I mean, I distinctly remember how I got bounced in the top 8. That felt pretty bad. But the thing I remember more, and the thing that I probably cherish more, is like hanging out with all of the old squad until like 3 a.m. each night.
And you know what? That was probably more fun. That can be you. If you get to Worlds via your... If you haven't played Keyforge much, but you like the game, you can convince your friend, hey, I can play this deck really well. Let's just assume it's Archon. I can play this deck really well. I can go 3-3 on your team, and I really, really want to go to Worlds. I can take off of work. Take that person on your team, you know? They don't have to win every single game, but that's the relationships we want to bring to Worlds, from Worlds. And the champion, it's going to be three champions, right? Let's make some sort of tradition. Let's make some sort of... In Star Wars, we had a headband, which was revered as this thing that you win when you win Worlds. That was bigger than the trophy that we carried.
And then in L5R, they have this title, which is really cool. It's called the Shogun, if you win. So if you win, you are the Shogun for a year. And like every event you go to, when they type out your name, it would be like, you know, Kodamarin Shogun.
Oh yeah, for the next year, I'm gonna be a Shogun because I'm gonna show up to L5R Worlds and take the whole field. Yeah.
And like actually, both of the Shoguns, they both did distinctive things at each Worlds. They got them a nickname on the nickname. So the first Shogun, he was known as the Slogan because in the finals, they doubled the amount of time you have, and he actually said, "I'm milking the whole clock." And so he was known as a Slogan. And then the next one, they do this thing with roles that I don't need to jump into, but basically the top of each clan get an influence over how their clan's going to play for the next year or so. And the guy who won Worlds, he understood that the clan behind him, they only had like one realistic option as far as their direction goes. But like if you take that option from them, their host... So he's like, we'll just take a different option because we have like five options. So we'll take our second best option and you can have your best option because I'm just a nice guy. So he got called the Brogan.
The Brogan.
Yeah.
Nice. And you know what?
There's things like that that can happen in Keyforge too.
That's what I'm excited about. There's still a lot of time before they announce the actual format and the rewards and the prizes for winning Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's something like that. Maybe you get to bring a new house back. Maybe you get to add a card and, hey, which house is it going to go in? Maybe we don't know what's going to happen. Each of these three players, maybe they're each going to have an influence over the direction of Keyforge. FFG is known to do these things. We know that they're trying to do new and exciting things with Keyforge. I'm sure that if you bring a squad of people you like and you do well at Worlds, there's going to be an influence, at least in the community of or at least your own community of how that influences the game going forward.
Yeah, and so to recap on this idea, so number one, as far as qualification, your best route is actually probably your local prime. We don't really recommend like banking on the on the vault tours. And then as far as selection of your team, you probably don't want to be super cutthroat about it. You just want to go with like your two best friends you have within the Keyforge community, unless you both have invites, right? So that there is a world where like me and Kodamarin we're not on the same team, and we each bring our own teams, and we can hang out with each other anyways.
I can roll with two other New Yorkers. I'm down with that.
Yeah, like there's a world where that could potentially happen too, but like your primary objective should be, I'm here to hang out with my friends, and Keyforge is a secondary thing. Because also, here's the thing. The likelihood is you're not going to make the cut, right?
Oh, yeah. You could just lose.
So like, the day two, all you're doing is watching a stream, just like everybody else. And, like, there's also time after the tournament. So, like, you do the tournament during the day, but then, okay, you wrap it up at 7. What are you going to do? Are you just going to go back to your hotel room and, like, meditate for the next game?
You could play more Keyforge. That's real.
Yeah, or you could just hang out with your friends. So, like, that's where the experience factor comes in. Like these tournaments are way more fun when you have your people there than if you're just there by yourself, you know? Anyway, so yeah, that's all we really have for this episode. This is Bouncing Death Quark. You can find us online. We are on social media, both Facebook and Twitter. We are at Death Quark for either one of them. Through either of our social medias, you can find an invite to our Discord channel. Our Discord channel is the easiest way to contact myself or Kodamarin. And then if you want to get more content, Kodamarin has a YouTube channel. We do some streams. Sometimes we'll do some commentary on different events. And lastly, if you want to support us even more, we have a store. So if you go to the store, you can find merchandise like bags, t-shirts, mugs, sweaters, whatever. And like, you can fly our colors at events to show that like you like the show. So yeah, tell your friends about the show, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks a bunch.